You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Tuesday afternoon, everybody. Where's Dan?
System of touch.
He heard you were leading off with Tears for Fears and he just couldn't have it.
Where is Dan?
I don't know. Is he still mad about that Buck O'Neill Bridge story yesterday?
Oh my
Do you remember
gosh.
This video, by the way, where they're in an old library and he opens a book and a butterfly flies out?
Okay, I have something to tell you. I was not living in this country at the time.
It.
And we didn't have MTV over there.
Oh, so when you say, I want my MTV, you really,
I really wanted
yearned
MTV.
For it.
Yes.
Like I yearn for creamer for my coffee right now.
Is that going to be your new word of the day?
Yes, it's a yearning, Sam.
Are you yearning for the word yearn?
Yeah.
You know what we used to do back then? Because we only, our last year there, we didn't have any English language TV. And we would have our friends back in the States use a VHS recorder to record like The Cosby Show,
yeah.
Cheers. My mom was a huge, what was her soap? I think it was One Life to Live.
For the kids out there, the VHS is that rectangular shaped looking thing that's dark in color and typically has a label on the top.
And so our friends back in the States would mail us VHS tapes and that's how we would mildly stay abreast of what was going on TV over here.
The reason I want to see Dan Weinbaum, not only does he bring a smile to my face with that glorious, vast, encyclopedic knowledge of worthless information during this program every day, but I brought a VHS tape in yesterday that I found clearing out all of my old effects. And on the tape, Sam, and it's old school VHS, tab was out because it was important, please.
Hang on. He won't understand that. You would pop the tab out to make sure it couldn't be recorded
over. A little
over.
Piece of a fixed plastic, and you would take a ballpoint pen underneath it and fling that sucker out of there.
Oh, I remember.
You ain't going to tape over my VHS greatness.
Not today.
All it said on the tape was Dana KU news anchor tape. So I would have been like, 19 years old and Professor Tom Hedrick. I know it.
God loves
Scott,
me.
You know. It is going to be so
awful.
Bad. It's going to be awful. Awful.
Yes. I wish I had saved my tapes.
It's so embarrassing. But for you, I brought it in and I go, oh, hell yes. We are going to play this.
And so back
my voice is going to be up here. I'm talking like, you know, I was telling
you. In seconds, the former 14-story complex transformed into a great big pile of metal, cement, glass, marble.
Okay.
And let's not forget the dust.
We have not
let's
forgotten
not
the dust.
Let's not forget the dust.
You better not forget the dust. It's everywhere.
I hate you, Sam.
All right.
Well, things have calmed down a little bit since the First National Bank dropped out of Topeka's skyline. But for some,
did you just inhale helium?
Is just beginning.
Yes. Scott, my scrotum had not dropped yet at that point.
Easy there,
I did
Captain.
Not get this glorious broadcast voice until I had a couple kids sometime in the early 2000s.
It certainly wasn't at WIBW.
No, it was not. I was an intern when I did that story.
We'll start cleaning up the debris pile tomorrow. The goal today is just get the streets cleared.
Listen to this
business.
Construction manager, by the way. He has no time for Dana Wright.
But even though the major cleanup starts tomorrow,
get away from
me. Crews had to get some of the rubble out of the way today.
Can you describe the debris pile, sir? I mean, I just thought
it was dusty.
I thought that was an Emmy Award-winning performance.
I mean, that was some great use of B-roll sound effects.
Thank you.
The
Nat sound was strong in that piece.
I'm going back. You know, I've got like 4,000 photos and videos. I'm going to try to find. Remember, years ago, I found a.
It was an audio tape.
It was a cassette.
Yeah.
From. I think I was at KOFO.
Your mother did not keep all of your early work. Like, my grandmother would knock down a child to get to that VCR during the news to hit record if she thought one of my stories was going to be on back when I was an intern.
No, I don't think my mom saved it because I don't think I ever brought it home.
Did she forget the dust?
Maggie forgot the
Shut
dust.
Shut up, Sam.
And let's not
You know
forget
what we're going to do? No, that is enough of you. Do you know what we're going to do? Where did you go to school?
He went to UMKC.
I did.
I almost made a joke there that I should not have made, and I stopped myself, and I'm glad I did not.
No,
okay.
Feel free.
Because I love
the
ruse. I love UMKC.
What were you
going to
say?
We are going to contact their media department, and we are going to get some of Sam's work when he was 18 years old and put it right next to Let's Not Forget the Dust. Because here's what I know about what you do when you're 18 or 19. Squat. And it's all bad, and it's all cringeworthy when you look back.
You know, I'm going to save you the time, because they didn't have a radio program, so there isn't anything to go look for.
You didn't do any TV work or anything like that?
I did one class where we put together two TV packages, and I guarantee you that professor does not still have those packages.
Oh, I don't know.
But if he does, please go find them. I'd love to see how stupid I look.
You're not hanging on the Wall of Fame there somewhere? Are we sure about that? Anyway. Yes. Huh. When Dan comes in, I will be asking, do you have that tape? He said he was going to digitize. I'm going to go home and digitize it.
Oh, so we may have it by today.
Well, I said, Dan, just pop it into VCR because he has one. I can't believe it, but he does.
I believe it.
Hit record on your phone.
And he's older than me. I'm not surprised at all.
All right.
From the text line, when I lived in Germany, my mom would send me recordings of 90210.
Wow.
And ER.
By the way, when the Olympics was on, I do remember hearing from Carrie and my daughter, can you please give me your password to whatever it was so that we can watch the Olympics not in French?
Really?
Well, you are in Paris. I would anticipate in Paris the Olympics broadcasts were in French, and they were.
I'm assuming it would have been on Peacock. I think NBC had the rights.
Can we get your password? And I go, it's sand volleyball. I mean, do you really need to know what the announcers are saying?
Oh, I thought you were saying your password was sand volleyball.
No.
Pretty interesting.
Hey, speaking of passwords, we might need to call my mother today. She is home from the hospital.
I'm so happy about that.
And for those of you, I just mentioned this on social, and it's not like I'm keeping anything from anybody, truly. It's just that it happened very, very fast. She went in the hospital very, very fast, and then she was released very, very fast for sepsis, which, you know, don't mess around with that.
No, that can kill you.
My dad just casually calls me, and he's like, hey, so everything's fine. And you know when someone in your family says that. Everything is not fine.
It's like the phone ringing between 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. Nobody ever calls with good news.
We don't want you to worry.
This was at like noon.
We don't want you to worry.
Here's the other thing, Sam. You know this. My dad is a texter. He is not a phone caller. So I look down and it says the phone's calling. It's my dad. And I'm like, hello? Like, hello? Sure enough, everything's fine. And I'm like, what happened? You know, what is going on?
Right.
So anyway, she goes in. They, thank goodness, the first doctor was like, yeah, we think you got something going on with your knee. Second doctor was like, oh, hell, we're admitting you. You know, she was on powerful antibiotics for like 3 days. Now she's fine. But I get this text from her. And apparently their hospital, where they are located, has some sort of password system. So that if you were in the hospital, Scott, and I wanted to call and get any sort of update on your condition, I don't have to go through 12 different people and nurses and receptionists to ensure that, yes, I'm on the list. You just say the password, and then apparently they'll give you whatever medical history you want or whatever. I get a text from my mom. I just want to read it. God bless her. She was probably hopped up on antibiotics.
Please tell me it was Collie Wobbles.
In all caps and in bold, Sam, if you ever want to call here and want the status of my condition, you have to say the words,
Patrick Mahomes.
I knew it.
Patrick, you are now big time. You were the password for the key to the castle of all of my mother's private health information.
She is obsessed.
Obsessed. She's like, you know, we switched to State Farm and I did ask for the Patrick Price.
There is no Patrick Price.
Well, she thought there was.
That's kind of the whole point of the commercial.
Poor agent.
Is to get you to switch?
That poor State Farm agent down south is like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't even know who Patrick Mahomes is.
I want the Patrick Price. Could we please just... There's probably a restraining order.
She using Head and Shoulders now?
Oh.
To bathe?
Oh, I'm telling you, Scott. She is all in.
And you don't have dandruff.
Well, according to the commercial, Patrick says you don't just use Head and Shoulders when you see flakes.
No. It's preventative. If you ask my mother, she would tell you that. Anyway, she sent me that with a straight face.
Oh,
the password. Now, don't tell anyone. It's Patrick Mahomes.
I knew it. Wow.
Oh, my God. I love her so much.
Tell everybody what we're going to talk about this hour.
Oh, my God. Well, there's a bunch of stuff in the stack today. But what I want to start with is when you go to court in a criminal case, and this one sadly involves the loss of a younger person here in town. When you go to court, And this is the day the judge is going to say, this is what I rule. As a family, do you have any say in that whatsoever? Because you know this, Scott, sometimes the prosecution and the defense work out a deal.
Mm-hmm.
They present that to the judge. What if you don't like the back room negotiations,
the plea deal
to keep things moving along? And there is a real life case there. And I don't think there was a dry eye in that courtroom. I would not have wanted to have been the judge in this case.
Hmm. That's a great story. We'll get to that in just a moment. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from the Kansas City Star. Now, follow me here. Will Ensley, a standout swimmer at Shawnee Mission Northwest High, died last year after a traffic crash near Metcalf and 115th Street. Just weeks from starting his senior year in high school, Will was stopped at a traffic light when a dump truck slammed into him, triggering a nine-car pileup. And with a packed courtroom of supporters behind him, Randall Ensley stood before a Johnson County judge as a grieving father with a passionate plea. His youngest son, Will, a standout swimmer at Shawnee Mission Northwest, had died 16 months ago because of that crash. Darren Boomershine later told police that he was looking at a woman in a vehicle a few cars ahead and wasn't paying attention to the vehicles that were stopped at a red light that July 2023 morning. Quoting here from the judge, Timothy McCarthy, the defendant was reckless and indifferent to the safety and well-being of everyone on that roadway. And as a result, he killed a sweet young man in the prime of his life. Will Ensley's family, wanted Boomershine to go to trial, ultimately for manslaughter, so his actions that morning would be revealed. But instead, Boomershine pleaded guilty to vehicular homicide, a misdemeanor, and waited Monday to see if he'd indeed be given a year of probation, be required to pay restitution, spend a month in the county jail, all of which the attorneys, defense, and prosecution had agreed on. And that's where Ensley's own plea came in. The state and the defense have evidently agreed to this weak plea agreement, Ensley told the judge. So I ask you, as the final arbiter in this matter, to please consider a stronger, more just sentence.
The case is heartbreaking, Scott. The teenager died a few weeks before he would have started his senior year. He was captain of the Shawnee Mission Northwest swim team, helped manage the girls' swim squad. Coaches adore him, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors say that there is a reason this plea was reached, and that is because it is a very narrow set of circumstances to get substantial jail time for a death of this nature, okay? In fact, you have to prove recklessness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not ordinary negligence. And in this case, the operator of that truck had looked down at another car. He was actually looking at a woman in another car. He noticed a woman in another car, looked down, and then bam. And so, you know, I think the system will weigh, do we put this in front of a jury? Do we take this to trial? Do we fight? And they want to fight for victims. They want to fight for all of the victims. That's why they get into the business they're in. But to prove recklessness, this is why they say they went with the plea. Because how do you prove that this was beyond reckless and not just, quote, ordinary negligence?
Right.
We have all looked down. It led to your car wreck, Scott, that could have killed you.
Should have killed me.
The driver of that car looked down.
Actually, he was drinking out of a Sonic Route 66.
Took his eyes off the road for a second.
Yeah.
Now, do I read that he spotted a woman that he felt was attractive?
It doesn't get into that, but he noticed a woman and was looking at her green car. And then, you know, the line of cars was all stopped at a red light. So he was looking two car lengths down and not looking directly in front of him. And by the time you know what's going on, he is on top of the truck that this teenager was riding in. It's heartbreaking.
So the judge, Judge McCarthy, ended up sentencing Boomershine to 12 months probation and restitution of $92,000. He ventured away from the plea agreement when it came to jail time. Instead of the 30 days in the agreement, he sentenced Boomershine to 60 days in the county jail.
And when I read that, Scott, you would be so angry and so heartbroken walking out of that courtroom that you have asked, please fight for my son. Do something for my son.
And
seems like too little. Like the dad is saying, we want a year. But my guess is if you look at all of the cases of vehicular manslaughter, no one is drunk. No one is driving 150 miles an hour. You just aren't paying attention the way you should be in a truck or otherwise.
Yeah.
My guess is very few people serve much time, if any time at all, in those cases.
And there's no indication that Mr. Boomershine was drunk or high or anything like that.
Do you have to have a CDL to drive a trash truck?
I bet you do. That would be my guess.
Then I am astonished that this was as little of a penalty as it was. It should have been more. Looking at a woman in her vehicle is not an excuse. That is direct negligence and, in my opinion, easily provable.
He was charged initially, Sam, with one count of vehicular homicide, no vehicle registration, and violation of the motor carrier safety rules and regulations, which those are all misdemeanors. He was also charged following another vehicle too closely for an earlier incident that occurred the month before this fatal crash.
I mean, we had the story about the guy out of Colorado who fell asleep at the wheel. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't on any sort of substance. He just overdid it on his ability to continue driving. And I'm pretty sure he stands behind bars today.
Now, in the prosecution's defense, they take things to court that they think they can win. And if the defense, the one thing you don't want to do as a prosecutor is get into the L column. You don't want to lose. And we're going to take this guy to court. We're going to try him on manslaughter. But if they're willing to agree to vehicular homicide, at least we've got something.
You also have to look at the resources you have available.
Right.
With all of the cases that you have to look at the resources available. It's why I said I would never want to be the judge in this case.
And Dad is arguing that they were never met with, that they did not agree
I don't know that they were never met with.
Okay.
The dad is just saying we want more than this plea suggests.
Not a misdemeanor with 2 months in jail. 913-586-7798. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome. 913-586-7798. Dad says that the plea agreement involving the death of his son in a traffic wreck was weak. His word, weak. They wanted Mr. Boomershine to go to prison, jail, whatever, for a year.
For manslaughter, not vehicular homicide.
He got 2 months. And a $92,000 fine, restitution. 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. The telephone number, if you'd like to be part of the program, is 913-586-7798. Let's go to Jim in Eastern Shawnee. Jim, hello.
Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon, guys. I tell you what, it makes me sick to hear what's going on there. I know the family really well. I know Dad, Mom, and I did not know this young man. The dad was a manufacturer's rep for Sub-Zero Wolf, where I used to work before I retired. Great people. And we met with them shortly after this happened at an event, and tragically, my son had passed away a week before that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it was horrible. And then his son, and of course, his son was in the prime of his life and all of his future. You think they're going to be able to get more out of this thing? I mean, gosh, the little bit he's getting charged, I just can't imagine it.
And Jim, it was a 9-car pileup.
Yep.
Truck was going 38 miles an hour right before 6:45 a.m.
Yep.
When you say do we think that they'll be able to get more out of it, what do you mean by that?
Well, a longer sentence.
No.
He needs to go to jail.
Well, he's going to go to jail for 2 months.
Still a big deal. I mean, I hate to even talk to this guy. He would be so livid. I don't think I can make a good comment to him for another week or so. I'll let this die down a little bit.
If probation is violated, the driver of that truck would end up serving another 10 months in jail.
Correct.
If he doesn't, it's a handful of weeks, and you cannot imagine what it would be like.
Oh.
I can't even go there in my own mind.
No.
But I also understand the constraints of the system that we work under.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to answer Jim's question, as far as time in jail, the answer is no. It's over. Unless, as you mentioned, Dana, he violates his probation.
Should he be able to drive a commercial truck again? I would argue no
on that as well.
He will not be able to ever drive a commercial truck again.
The only other recourse the family would have, because they were awarded $92,000 in restitution. I'm assuming that money goes to the family, but I don't know that. That could go to the state, all I know. They could file a wrongful death civil lawsuit against him. But
money is not going to bring your child back.
No, it's not. And you can't get blood from a turnip. And so that would be the only further legal recourse that the family would have.
Could they go after the company that he works for as well?
Oh, sure.
Worked for, because he doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Assuming he was not the owner of his own tiny little dump truck company.
Yeah. Safe assumption.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Duke at the Legends. Hello, Duke.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
So apparently, justice for the victim, justice for the family, justice to protect any citizen of this metropolis area comes down to a one-loss record for prosecutors. That's what this particular, quote, agreement on the side and under the table is actually saying, in my particular opinion. This is an abomination. I cannot believe that this, in fact, is the outcome. This man needs to do time. The community needs to have the assurance that, oh, by the way, yeah, you do the crime, you're going to do the time. Just, I can't believe it. I mean, I believe in it because it's there. It's here. Mm-hmm. But I find this an abomination. One loss record for prosecutors is the difference of justice. Absurd.
Duke, thank you for the call. I will just say this. You would have to go back and look at the history of these types of cases. Do I agree that there should be nothing more than a slap on the wrist for the death of a brilliant, young, vibrant, beloved young man? Mm-hmm. Do I agree with this? No. But if you look at the history of these types of cases, I think this aligns with what you are going to see in these types of cases.
Yeah, and not to defend the prosecution in this, because I too think Mr. Boomershine should have gone to jail or prison for longer than just 2 months. His reckless, careless behavior, looking at a woman for whatever reason we don't know, was she doing something bizarre in her car? Was she eating? Was she attractive? We don't know what it was about this woman. It's not detailed in the story. What it was about this woman that captured his attention. But because of that, and because of the size of the vehicle that he was driving, and I think that factors into this
a
lot, because I don't know this for a fact, but I would bet that if he was driving a sedan, young Will would still be alive today. He might have been hurt. Might have been hurt badly.
Keep in mind, Will was in a pickup truck.
Okay, he probably wouldn't have been that hurt.
If it were anything but the vehicle that rear-ended him, he would have been fine.
But the fact that it was a big, heavy dump truck changes the entire story.
And Will was sandwiched in between. It was another a nine-car pileup.
And he was the first one hit, the way I read the story. So dump truck is vehicle number nine.
He was trapped.
Will is number eight and was hit so hard. Now, they were at a stoplight, so probably not a lot of distance between the cars, but his vehicle, Will's vehicle, hitting the car in front of him, which hit the car in front of him. Seven other cars were damaged because of the impact of the dump truck. So you can't take the dump truck, the fact that this Boomershine guy was driving a dump truck, that is so relevant to the outcome of this story.
Well, and we were talking about other cases, and I mentioned the guy out of Colorado. I misspoke. He didn't fall asleep. The judgment was that he was driving recklessly, and that caused the brakes to fail. And this is a different state, but he was sentenced to 110 years in prison. The governor stepped in and cut it down to 10.
Yeah, I remember that story.
But 110 years.
Text from 8116, that any distracted driver that causes a death needs to go to jail?
But you have to look at, again,
the size of the law.
If you are outraged about this, I understand that, but you have to look at the law. And what the law says is you have to prove recklessness, gross recklessness. And that texter is right. Be careful what you ask for. So that means everyone eating a hamburger on their way into work or putting on lip gloss or all of the different reasons you could get in a car
drinking
wreck.
Drinking a Route 66 from Sonic, yes, tapping the ice out of the
any
bottom.
Any of those things, would we see jail time in those cases? And I think the answer is no, Scott.
Probably not. Brian in Tonganoxie. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a truck driver. I own my own local company here. And from the driver's perspective of it, what would happen if a car, I mean, we call them four-wheelers, hit a dump truck and, you know, T-boned it because the driver of the car was on their cell phone, killed the driver of the dump truck, nobody'd be batting an eye.
I don't know if nobody would be batting an eye.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, granted, the driver of the truck that hit the kid wasn't paying attention, but you look at the amount of trucks on the road per day and the cars on the road per day, the majority of the accidents are caused by cars.
The safety record, by and large, Brian, is very, very good with our over-the-road truckers. You will get no argument with me there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of to ridicule this driver over this situation and say he's not getting enough time served. You know, he's got to live with this for the rest of his life also.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I'm not going to feel sorry for him. I mean, he is driving, and I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but he's on the road driving the equivalent of a tank. And that changes the story for me. If you're driving such a powerful, heavy vehicle, you need to be paying more attention than any driver on the road.
Yeah, and a majority of us do. I mean, I don't. Yeah. I'm actually in my personal pickup, sitting in my driveway right now, and so I don't talk when I'm driving my dump truck.
Yeah,
but it's just.
Brian, let me ask you this. How much does a dump truck weigh? Do you know?
Well, they got commercial zones in Missouri. Well, Kansas and Missouri, it's a big radius. And so some of these dump trucks, you know, they can weigh up to 85,000 pounds. You know, especially traveling up and down 71 Highway and 435 on the Missouri side. I mean, their Missouri side, their weights are way more than Kansas is.
And if it's fully loaded, I'm assuming it weighs even more. Like
no, that's fully loaded.
That would be fully loaded. Okay.
Yeah. Dump trucks in that commercial zone, they can weigh just as much as a truck that runs cross country.
Okay.
You know, a tractor trailer. So I don't agree with it. I think their weights are a little bit too much, especially for Missouri roads. But
Brian, thank you for the call.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you.
So to put that into perspective, the average pickup truck, which this young man was driving, weighs anywhere from 5,000 to 7,500 pounds. Scott, you had used the example of if he had been rear-ended by a sedan, he would still be alive today. The average sedan weighs anywhere from 2,000 to 3,600 pounds.
So he was behind the wheel of a vehicle that was 10 times heavier than the average
essentially
pickup truck.
10 times heavier than the heaviest pickup truck.
Right. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott. here on KMBZ. All right, we'll grab one more call on this and then move on to some other stuff. Quick reminder, programming note, we will be doing Terrible Joke Tuesday at 3:45 this afternoon.
Say what?
We skipped it last week, so we will do it today, 3:45. Ashley in Bonner Springs, you get the last word. Hello.
Howdy do. Unfortunately, I do feel sorry for the guy that hit the guy, the kid, unfortunately, and I hate to hear that he lost his life. But there are laws that help minimize these types of situations, distracted or not. Dump trucking is no different than driving a tractor trailer, a combinated vehicle. So we have restrictions that keep us from, when there's a stoplight, a stop sign, we're supposed to maintain a certain distance behind the vehicle in front of us. Even the line itself, you're not supposed to be all the way up on it. You're supposed to leave enough room at the beginning, and that's to actually to adjust yourself. If say something happened in front of you, you can react without being squashed. So we're supposed to maintain at least the cab's distance from the vehicle in front of us at a stop sign or a stop light. As we're driving, we're supposed to maintain so many feet from the vehicle in front of us. Him being distracted, looking down, it wouldn't have taken enough time. If his looking down took longer than it would have taken longer for him to stop, he was already following too close to begin with. And unfortunately, there is nothing. He's going to feel bad, but that would is all the way on him. And no one can feel sorry for us except us, because we know the rules. And sometimes we become impatient, but we allow things to distract us. Nothing can distract you but yourself. So unfortunately, there was a life lost from that. And there's no other reason for that besides, yes, he was distracted, but that's still no excuse, because he was already following too close to begin with.
Ashley, by the way you talk, it sounds like you drive a dump truck.
I drive a semi, and I have driven dump trucks as well. Okay.
Do you need, I'm assuming you need a CDL to drive a dump truck?
Yes, sir, you do.
Okay, and if you're involved in an accident in either your dump truck or your semi, and it causes a death, do you have any chance of ever getting a CDL again?
It actually depends on the situation. If you're not at fault, you definitely, they're not going to restrict that. But certain things like that where it's neglect, you could definitely lose your CDL for the rest of your life.
How many women, percentage-wise, would you guess drive trucks?
There's a small amount of us, but we are growing.
Good.
And the thing about, this might be a touch sexist, but females have a touch more attention to detail. Men can get distracted a little bit easier, but at the end of the day, females do have a little bit of the more attention to detail. It's just a natural thing.
Well, Ashley, thank you for the call. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome.
All right, be well.
Thank you.
Hey, you've seen the forecast. It is getting colder. We have launched Coats for Kids 2024. Started last week, and we have a very ambitious goal of $60,000, because that is how big the need is in our community to get warm coats on the backs of children in Kansas City. For whatever reason, they don't have their own coat this coming winter. And we use your generosity, your money, to buy new coats. Every penny goes to buy new coats for kids in Kansas City. And the money stays here. We're working with the KCK, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center School Districts. And it costs about $25, because we work through Operation Warm, to get a new coat for a child in our city. If you can, if you're willing to donate, please go to kmbz.com, click on the Coats for Kids logo, and that's going to take you to a very safe, very secure website where you can make your donation. Again, that's kmbz.com, or text KMBZ Coats to 44321. KMBZ Coats, one word, to 44321. And a huge shout out and thanks to Operation Warm, and of course, our sponsor all these many years, Pinnacle Bank.
12.1% of all CDL holders are women.
Really?
12?
That's more than I thought.
I would have guessed it was lower than that.
I would have too.
Yeah, I would have as well.
Because the percentage of female pilots, you remember this number?
I think it's 2%.
It has stayed over the lifetime of aviation around 7%.
7%. Well, Maya Parks is going to change
I know
that.
She is. You go, girl.
All right, quick break. We're going to do Terrible Joke Tuesday. coming your way at 3:45. Don't send in your jokes just yet. Some of you are already doing that because they'll get lost in the shuffle. But we'll call for the jokes at about 3:30.
Would you like an example?
Yes, please.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
Have you ever tried blindfolded archery?
I have not.
You don't know what you're missing.
And with that, we've got the news with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Good one.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.